In January 2026, the state of Utah rolled out a pilot program involving an artificial intelligence system that autonomously renews certain prescriptions for people with chronic conditions. This experiment could have both clinical and legal implications. I'm Stephen Morrissey, managing editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Sarah Gerke, an associate professor of law and at the European Union Center at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Professor Gerke has co-authored a prospective article about Utah's pilot program. Professor Gerke, what medications are included in this program, and in what circumstances is AI-based prescribing being implemented?
So, as you mentioned, Utah launched a 12-month pilot program in January, and it's about an AI system that is developed by a health startup called Doctronic, and it really autonomously renews prescriptions for 192 commonly prescribed drugs. So there are a lot of different drugs involved, mostly for people for chronic diseases here. And the idea is that the first 250 prescription renewals still reviewed by a physician, but after that, the AI system does it completely autonomously without any human in the loop. And you can imagine of these 192 drugs, there are different ones like ibuprofen, but also more complex drugs involved.
What's the stated purpose of the program?
So the entire idea is Utah was the first state in the US that actually established a regulatory sandbox. And what this is that the entire idea of a regulatory sandbox is a learning lab that provides temporary waivers and permits temporary modifications of specific state law requirements. And so what happens is that the Utah Office of Artificial Intelligence Policy and Doctronic, they entered into a so-called regulatory mitigation agreement on this framework. And now they can literally test this AI tool. But what's important to realize is that federal law still preempts state law here. And so if this tool, for example, is a medical device that requires pre-market review by the FDA, those requirements cannot be invalidated by state law.
So I want to ask about pluses and minuses. First, the pluses. In what context might autonomous prescription renewal be beneficial for patients and for the healthcare system?
We can certainly see here medications where you could argue that autonomous AI can be used for refilling prescriptions. So if you imagine, for example, a patient with well-controlled hypertension who has been taking the antihypertension medication for years and has also consistently had a normal blood pressure readings. So here you might say, okay, renewal done by an AI tool is totally fine. The idea of using AI is really to improve medication adherence because we do know that not all patients are following up on taking their medications, and that can lead to patient harm. So, for example, we do know that only 40 to 60% of patients with chronic diseases such as diabetes and hypertension actually maintain adequate adherence to their medications. And so here there could be some opportunity in using AI.
And then the minuses, in what clinical circumstances do you think this type of prescribing might be inappropriate or concerning?
There are other medications where I do believe, and that's why we also wrote this piece, where you really want to keep a human physician in the loop. And these could be medications that, for example, require frequent dose adjustments. And so some of the drugs that are included in Utah's pilot program, for example, levothyroxine, really, they require careful therapeutic drug monitoring and physician oversight. And it's currently unclear whether the AI system will be actually able to identify patients where renewals may be inappropriate. And I think it's really important here to develop AI tools that are at the end clinically meaningful. And this case study could really set a precedent here, leading other states to launch similar pilot studies in the future, but also including those that might even allow AI to initially prescribe autonomously rather than just the refilling part. And so it's really important to consider here carefully all of the medical, but also legal issues in this case.
So, yes, about the legal issues, you say in your article that the Utah program could present legal problems. What do you see as the most important legal concerns?
So there are two big problems from my perspective here. The first one is that it seems that Doctronic's tool was not reviewed by the FDA before launching the pilot. And this is a little concerning because, from at least from my perspective, there might be a good chance that this tool is a medical device. And so under the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, an AI-based product is considered a medical device if it's intended for use in the diagnosis of disease or other conditions, or in the cure, mitigation, treatment, or prevention of disease. And here it's really important, we are typically looking at the objective intent of the manufacturer. And that typically is shown by the labeling claims or oral or written statements. And one can argue here that the tool is intended for the mitigation or treatment of disease. And there are some exceptions in the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act that where software functions are not considered medical devices. But all of these exclusions do not seem to apply to an autonomous AI system. And so in my opinion, you could argue that Doctronics AI system is a medical device and might be even classified as a class 2 moderate risk device, which typically triggers FDA pre-market review for safety and effectiveness. And I believe that especially in cases of autonomous AI tools where we don't have physicians in the loop, which are also, frankly, the exception, what we are seeing, what FDA has authorized so far, really rigorous testing is here important for safety and effectiveness and also to prevent patient harm.
As you say, the program launched several months ago. Have there been any early observations about safety and effectiveness?
Yeah, so far I haven't seen any information. I read somewhere that they might talk to the FDA, that there might be meetings, but it's hard to say. I'm not an insider. I will say there is one other legal issue that I'm seeing in the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, and that is that besides the question of whether Doctronics AI tool is a medical device, there is this question whether an AI tool can even refill a prescription. Because the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act clearly says that you need to be a prescriber, and a prescriber refers here in the statute to a practitioner licensed by law. And so if you're thinking about the natural reading of this term, like practitioner licensed by law, that suggests to me a person, a human licensed physician, and not an AI system. And I think this natural reading makes sense. And we are seeing there is a federal bill introduced in Congress. It's called Healthy Technology Act of 2025. And that actually proposes to amend the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act to make AI and also machine learning technology eligible to prescribe drugs if they are authorized by state law and also granted marketing permission by the FDA. And so this bill wouldn't even be needed if the current Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act already allows it. And so here, I think there might be a violation of the act where any drug dispensed through refilling a prescription using AI could be considered misbranded under the act. And so that's going to be really interesting to see how the FDA is evaluating this case. But that's in the discretion of the FDA.
So finally, if this experiment is allowed to continue, how might AI-based prescribing be expanded to other contexts in the future? What are you going to be looking for going forward?
I think we have here this interesting relationship between federal and state laws. And we are seeing that other states like Utah have now established these AI regulatory sandboxes. And so I worry a little that we are getting more of these experiments out there without considering the federal law. So I think it's still important that we are complying with federal law, and if it's a medical device, that it's also been tested for safety and effectiveness. Because even if it's a pilot program, you're still testing it on patients. And patients might not even necessarily know that this is a pilot program. They might not follow up with their physicians, and that could potentially lead to patient harm. And so we should always keep the patient in mind here and making sure that we are developing tools that are safe and effective throughout.
Thank you, Professor Gerke.